Welcome back to New World Next Week. I'm James Corbett of CorbettReport.com.
And I'm James Evan Pilato of MediaMonarchy.com, and coming to you from America, where we're amusing and abusing ourselves to death with the nonstop knee-jerk news of the day kind of stories about fake identities and murder sprees and really emotional con games that distract us while other things happening. So we'll talk about how cops steal millions from motorists in a minute. But first, James, like I said, you wouldn't know it if you live here in America, but there's massive news happening around the globe as Greece is just about on fire. The latest I have for you of the hashtag Grexit comes via CNN.money, appropriately enough. Europe fails to get deal as Grexit looms. European officials and the International Monetary Fund have failed to strike a deal on Greece's bailout program, bringing the country one step closer to a dangerous default and a potential exit from the eurozone. After the talks collapsed today, as I come to you in the States, June 18th, the EU called an emergency summit of leaders for this coming Monday to urgently discuss the situation of Greece. A new anti-austerity government in Greece has been trying to negotiate the terms of its $240 billion euro bailout since early this year. Europe and the IMF have relaxed some of the conditions, but say Greece must make substantial reforms to its economy in return for the remainder of the cash and any new support. Now, James, this is a very developing story, and we were trying to get together some of the most recent stories, but it's happening so quickly in some ways we probably will just supply a lot of the background in the show notes. And of course, the show notes, as always on all of these episodes, contain everything we cite, we source and cite. So the Debt Truth Committee, James, Greece's debt is actually illegal, illegitimate, and odious. And as all these gears are turning, James, and like I said, it's already Friday there in Greece and around the world, the weekend is going to get dark. So capital control set to be implemented as soon as this weekend, Zero Hedge reports. Greeks are understandably restless about the prospect of being Cyprus'd while they wait to hear if they will be the subject to further austerity or worse, a redenomination-fueled economic collapse. So this weekend, protests will probably return to Greece. James?
They certainly will, and we are going to see some very interesting developments there over the course of the weekend, so I hope people will keep an eye on it. And I hope people will take a look at that Greek parliamentary report that was just released on the illegal, odious debt, where they really do repudiate that debt in a great degree of detail. So I, of course, the link will be in the show notes so you can go and read the report for yourself, where they talk about the illegality of the IMF and the EFSF and the ECB and the whole troika in general, although they don't call themselves a troika anymore. Some very interesting maneuvers that I was talking about yesterday on financial survival that could potentially, if this is set as a political precedent, truly change the game in not just the eurozone, but really globally when you think about it. If an entire nation repudiates a debt as illegal and odious, that sets a pretty remarkable precedent. So we'll see how this develops. However, having said that, I think the real action of this, of course, is going to be in the geopolitical sphere, which is why I think the EU is not going to let Greece go gently into that good night, or even kicking and screaming into that good night. I think they're going to try to hold them kicking and screaming within the framework of the EU for geopolitical purposes. We talked about that, or I've talked about that on the Corbett Report anyway, in the past, talking about Mark Faber's observation that NATO, Greece is more important to NATO than the EU, maybe, but for that reason, it will stay in the EU. And on that note, Alexis Tsipras is going to meet with Vladimir Putin sometime in the next 12 to 24 hours as we're recording this. So probably by the time you're watching it, they will already be meeting. Supposedly, one of the things on the agenda, at least, will be a Russia-Greece agreement on support of the Turk Stream, or the Greek extension of the Turk Stream pipeline, which is now coming together after the South Stream pipeline has been quashed, or supposedly quashed. So that's an interesting development, because, of course, Tsipras and Greece more aligning now with Russia. Does that play into the sort of 2D chess game, Russia versus NATO, and trying to bypass the Ukraine for the gas? I think that's where the real heart of this story is right now, politically speaking, and that's, again, why I think the EU is not just going to let Greece Grexit that easily. I'm willing to be wrong about this, and I really do hope this is the end of the eurozone, but I'm not going to hold my breath on that.
In some ways, it seems, James, and I'm just kind of speculating, that a lot of the moves and a lot of the things that have been happening keep kind of pulling the curtain back, if you will, that basically the grand chessboard, Brzezinski, Kissinger, all of these guys, they've wanted all of these sort of proxy wars and lots of smoke screens. And now a lot of those seem to be moving away. And we're actually, like you said, it's like, well, get to the heart of the matter. Isn't this all actually about Russia and NATO? So in some ways, it does seem like this is kind of coming to the fore. And I don't know that that's good news, but let's look. No, we actually covered Syriza's rise to power as it was happening back in January of this year. So we'll include the link back to that New World Next Week episode from January of 2015, Anti-Austerity Syriza Seizes Power in Greece. So interestingly enough, that same episode, James, also had a segment on sheriffs wanting popular police tracking Waze app disabled. And now maybe we have another reason why. Our second story this week on New World Next Week, episode 232, Stop and Seize. Aggressive police take hundreds of millions of dollars from motorists not charged with crimes. This from an interesting full report from the Washington Post. Video, graphs, the whole sort of package, if you will. It notes, after the terror attacks on 9/11, the government called on police to become the eyes and ears of Homeland Security on America's highways. Local officers, county deputies, and state troopers were encouraged to act more aggressively in searching for suspicious people, drugs, and other contraband. The departments of Homeland Security and Justice, loosely called, spent millions on police training. The effort succeeded, but it had an impact that has been largely hidden from public view, the spread of an aggressive brand of policing that has spurred the seizure of hundreds of millions of dollars in cash from motorists and others not charged with crimes. This all coming from a Washington Post investigation. Thousands of people forced to fight legal battles that last for a long time to even try to hopefully maybe get their money back. Behind the rise in seizures is a little-known cottage industry of private police training firms that teach the techniques of highway interdiction to departments across the country. One of those firms created a private intelligence network known as Black Asphalt. There are other groups that have names like Desert Snow or the 420 Group. So they've enabled police nationwide to share detailed reports about American motorists, criminals or not, including social security numbers, addresses, tattoos, as well as hunches about which drivers to stop. Many of the reports have been funneled to federal agencies and fusion centers as part of the government's burgeoning law enforcement intelligence systems, despite warnings from state and federal authorities that all of this information could violate privacy and the pesky Constitution. A thriving subculture, James, in closing, from this long piece from the Washington Post that we'll implore people to go read and watch the video and check out the info. A thriving subculture of road officers on the network now compete to see who can seize the most cash and contraband, describing their exploits in the network's chat rooms and sharing trophy shots of money and drugs. Some police advocate highway interdiction as a way of raising revenue for cash-strapped municipalities. James, this really strips bare, I think, a lot of what we've seen, and people speculated when we were talking about sheriffs wanting the Waze app disabled, like, oh, because that's going to hurt their quotas. And here we are again, James.
Exactly right. And I think this is a good example of exactly what the gangster nature of the state is. I mean, the state will decide how much of your anything you can keep. And if they decide to pull you over and, hey, you're carrying too much cash, I think we're going to have to take that, they will do so. And the only difference, I think, that has historically been between a country like the United States and pick your third world country of choice, where the police do this quite routinely, is that, well, in the United States, yes, it happened, but not as often, not as much. There was still some sort of respect for some private property rights. Well, that is dwindling as the third worldization of America continues and it becomes the land of the unfree, the home of the slave. So it is extremely saddening, but perhaps not surprising. And I think this is, again, all related to the economic turmoil that's taking place globally that, of course, is coming home to roost in the United States, as we see, again, some pretty tectonic shifts on the political and the economic chessboard that are happening right now that all add up to the dwindling decline of the old U.S. Petrodollar hegemony. And this is what that looks like. For people who don't know or don't care about the U.S. world dollar reserve system, if you are an American living in America, you're going to see a lot more stories like this and worse stories than this in the future as the third worldization continues.
James, in some way, I guess I have a couple of related stories to this. But again, I think this New World Next Week episode kind of crafts a money through line, but looking at it in a lot of different angles, hopefully. And another international story, this kind of breaking worldwide. But again, I had to actually see it from the amazing audience out there who helped submit news to us using hashtag New World Next Week. Australian spies paid off people smugglers for years in a now busted open state bribery scheme. So yes, that's human trafficking. Meanwhile, talking to a billionaire about class war, there's an interesting article on Gawker where this said billionaire even notes, quote, shit's going to hit the fan. So having said that, in reaching our lowest point, probably this is where we turn and try and look at some good news, James. And we've been now almost halfway through 2015. Every episode features some type of good news, and we'll continue the money through line, and we'll grab it from the 10th Amendment Center. Texas law establishes bullion depository. Texas Governor Greg Abbott signed a bill establishing the nation's first state-level gold depository. 10th Amendment Center calls it a first important step towards gold and silver as commonly used legal tender in the state, creating now what some pundits are calling the Texas Fort Knox. State officials told the Houston Chronicle that no other state has its own state bullion depository. More importantly, though, the bill creates a means for transactions to occur in these metals. The bill reads in part, quote, a depository account holder may transfer any portion of the balance of the holder's depository account by check, draft, or digital electronic instruction to another depository account holder or to a person, da-da-da-da-da. What this really means is it establishes also a yet-to-be-determined secure location for storage of bullion, such as gold and silver. James, it's so funny in a lot of ways, a place like Texas seeming to be in some ways so sort of Wild West. But then you look at this and you boil it down and go, well, yeah, they're the Lone Star State, and they'll make a lot of moves to sort of make sure that they can maintain that sort of Wild West autonomy in some strange ways. This is a good news next week kind of story, though, James, right?
I think so. It's rather secessionistic-y, isn't it? I think it would be a necessary step towards putting some actual bite in the bark of political secession. And at any rate, I think it is a good thing for the people of Texas. Absolutely. Why not? And I think this should happen more. There should be more decentralization of these types of bullion depositories and more of the financial infrastructure to create these depository accounts that can then be used as banking accounts, basically, except it's actual gold or silver bullion that's backing it up. What a good idea. I think that should happen. It should be happening privately as well. But anyway, it should happen through state mechanisms if that's what is driving it. But I think this is an important story, again, for the type of precedent that it could set. And it's interesting when states are looking at the macroeconomic craziness that's going on right now across the globe, and they're potentially preparing their financial infrastructure to survive whatever's coming. They're looking at the old precious metals that are, of course, poo-pooed in the mainstream financial media. Oh, that's so 2009. This is 2015. Get with the program. It's not going up anymore, guys. Well, China's buying tens of thousands of tons of gold, and Russia's buying all sorts of gold, and the India is always buying gold, and now Texas is making a gold and silver bullion depository. I think maybe they know something about this. I don't know. So anyway, I think it is, generally speaking, a good story, and I hope it will be replicated more and more, not just across the United States, but around the world.
So James, we'll veer off from the currency through line for a couple of other good news next week updates. And again, people can submit these using hashtag good news next week. FDA takes steps to remove artificial trans fats in processed food, finally coming out after almost 40 years to ban what has obviously, you know, early on showed maybe some problems. A couple of decades in, definitely had problems. And why did it take the FDA almost 40 years to ban trans fats? That brings us right back to the money thing, James. It's pretty much cronies and lobbying and all their industrial buddies. But good news nonetheless. Meanwhile, France bans the sale of Monsanto's Roundup. So that's also a good bit of good news sent to us via Twitter, thanks to Michael Alexis B. Now, our other notes, James, from New World Next Week. Interesting one from our buddy Daz Alt Theory. Is it maybe a little bit of common ground? NFL Hall of Fame legends meet with Israeli Defense Forces. And they take interesting photos together, and you can insert the George Carlin joke here about football actually being a land acquisition game, and maybe we'll understand what they have in common. But the only other updates I want to mention all kind of relate to the sort of social psyops going on here in the States, James. All over the news this morning was that Trump has fake supporters at a rally, and I thought, I already heard that story 3 days ago, and I actually emailed you and Brock about it because I knew I had seen it, and I had in the alternative media from our, we should just call him our producer, Brock. Politicians use Rent-A-Crowd company to give illusion of support. He had this story out Tuesday. Rent-A-Crowd is actually the name of the company. So only today did the story about Trump get out, and I think this is kind of what I'm getting at, James. I'm getting kind of, as we're heading into the long, hot summer, getting this sinking feeling that we're kind of screwed here in America. As I look around, I feel like Christian Slater in the Pump Up the Volume, wondering if everything in America is completely effed up. But that's the chaos, I think, that they want us to feel. And the powers that shouldn't be will use that to get us to beg for order. And we look around today, and dude, I tell you, it's just, it's all Rachel Dolezal and Charleston shooting. That's all anyone is knee-jerkedly obsessed about. Meanwhile, you know, the House today passed the Trade Promotion Authority bill. Keep cramming through the Obama massive worldwide trade deal. So even as the phony left and right kind of quibble about it, it still moves forward. It's still going to keep moving forward. They're going to keep kind of lawyering it forward while we all argue and kind of tear each other apart. Classic divide and conquer moves.
It really is, and unfortunately it's easy and effective, and that's why they continue to do it, and presumably will continue to do it. Is that it for the updates?
It is. Sorry.
Oh, well. Can't always end on a happy note, I guess. Okay.
How about if people would like to see more independent, non-commercial, alternative media, they can support your work and my work. We've got subscription buttons, donation buttons. We do all of this completely for free. We do it for donations. We do it because we're passionate about sharing information that helps people make better decisions about their lives. It's that simple, James.
That's it. CorbettReport.com. Of course, James is over at MediaMonarchy.com, and our producer, Brock, is at APPerspective.net. I think editor would be the better term.
That's but
anyway, please do hit up the sites, and please do check out the show notes. Again, tons and tons of information in the show notes for your browsing pleasure. I don't know if pleasure is the right word. Edification. So until next week, James, thanks again.
Thanks so much, dude.